Huh? Did you know that hymn?
Yes.
I know some maybe that wouldn't, but it's been a while since we've sung it, but we have sung it in this church. And it's a great reminder of what Christ has done for us. And that's what we're looking at today. It's Easter Sunday, by the way. Right? We've been going through Mark, and it has been a lot of fun. Just to remind you, the book of Mark, interesting book, very abrupt in some ways in telling Christ's story. And as we said, as we started it, kind of an idea of Peter sharing with Mark how to write something and sharing stories. And then he's writing down these stories. Am I off? And then he's writing down these stories, and these stories, of course, are coming to us years and years later, but they're going immediately to the people as they're going through this and trying to discover, what was Jesus? How did this happen? Is this true? What really happened? And what does it mean to me? And so people are reading them, and they're getting to this point where they're reading about his death. And it's like the passion of Christ. And it's confusing. I mean, it's really confusing. I found it interesting, I was saying to Pastor Kyle, I found it interesting reading through it and preparing for a sermon on it when it's not Easter. It kind of hit me in a different way, and surprisingly, in a more passionate way, it really hit my heart as to what was going on, because it seems at Easter we just expect it, and we kind of go through it, for those who know the story so well, and we preach through it, and we're excited about it. It's a huge Sunday for us, but to preach on a different Sunday, it's quite unique, and it made me think about it in a different way, because honestly, I have to confess, when I opened up, I thought, well, maybe I'll just start another book, because I don't want to talk about that. It's just, that message is rich, it's awesome, but do I just want to talk about Christ's death this morning? Well, we know that's not just what we're talking about, but it is about that. And interesting is, Russ, thanks for reading, and Jillian, who was with us reading, that Jillian would read it, right? And how does she read those words? How does she understand those words? Well, how do we read those words? And how do we understand those words? Because they don't make sense. So this morning, I put a title about a reality that's there, but is unseen. And I think that this is the way we're going to have to read this part of the Bible, is that as we read it, we can read the words, but there's something happening that we may not perceive, but the scriptures will start to lay it out to us. And I think those people are in that situation, kind of like, and we're going to pray just in a moment, but kind of like when I recently was visiting someone in a senior home, and I was spending some time with her, and she was in a care home where she was being taken care of, and little by little she's starting to, well, lose her mind. And as I spent time with her, I would hear her speak about things that aren't happening, right? Sort of things that she thinks is happening, things that might be happening in the hallway that really aren't, things that might have happened to me that really aren't, people might have, she thought, died but didn't. And as I went away from that meeting, because let me tell you, this person is precious and loves Jesus and has been an example for many and prayed for many and talked to many about Christ. And as I walked away from it, if I didn't have Christ in my heart and him working in me, I was angry, but I'd be even more angry. And I wouldn't understand, because I wouldn't be able to perceive that there's unseen things happening. And that in spite of her condition, Jesus reigns. He is in full control. No matter what it might look to me on the outside. So be careful that as we go through life and as you're going through life, that you don't get distracted by what you see, by what you hear, by what you might touch, or how you feel. Rather, be grounded in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word this morning. And as we read through it, we trust that you would open up our eyes to the realities of who you are. Not just in this scripture, but right here in our lives with what we're going through, because we need that right here this morning. So I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. So I love God's word. It's awesome, and it has a lot to share with us. This is the time of beginnings. If you're getting ready for the fall, and maybe you're, well, these guys believe in me. I can't believe it. Anyhow, they're taking off. Nick, fortunately, is staying with me for a while. One of my boys, three of my kids are leaving me. They're just out of here. But Nick is going to have my full attention this fall. Oh, boy. Lucky guy, right? You can pray for him. So, it'll be great. But there's so many changes, right? We're having students come in, and we talked about Rebecca and Mark coming, which I'm very excited about. A couple who God has obviously put in our hands, and I can't even go through all the details of it, but it's exciting the way God brings people into a situation where they can be involved in ministry. But of course, she comes from a position where she's in ministry, and she's been active and doing so many things. So pray for them as they move out of that, both Rebecca and Mark, and I know he's really active in things as well. So be in prayer for them as they move here. So there's all sorts of changes happening, and we're getting excited about that. I don't know if you read the email that was sent out to people. If you don't get it, victorialliance.ca is sign up for the email. It had some words about the fact that we're going to do this thing called, I can't remember what the name of it was, but we're going to have a meal, pizza, after the service for the next two Sundays, the 1st and the 8th, and the idea is, we have heard statistically that once students start coming from another city into a new city like Victoria, they probably make a decision on what they're going to do within the first 3 weeks. And when they make that decision, we want it to be here because we know that we can provide a community that will care for them, family-like, a great faith family, and will support them. So as a result, we thought we'd give them an opportunity to get to know us. I remember when Ethan and David first came, and Jeanette, and is Jeanette here? David Wallace and Ethan, they all came that first Sunday from Kelowna, and immediately I stole them, took them off to a restaurant, gave them nachos and cheese, and they were here ever since. 10 years later, they were here. It was awesome. So the unseen God was obviously working through my stumblings. This morning, let's look at the Word, though. Let's go to Mark. Let me just get a little refresh in here. So this is what I didn't want to read through. This is not what I really didn't want to do. So let's start at verse 16. And it says, the soldiers led Jesus away into the palace. That is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. So the whole company of soldiers is a lot of soldiers, by the way. And it could be 600, it could be more, it could be less. But it's a lot of soldiers. So he called them all together, and they put the purple robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And probably the crown of thorns was more just like mocking him. I know it may have hurt him, the thorns might have hurt him, but it was more just mocking him, to make fun of him, that he could possibly think he's a king. It's ridiculous. Okay, so they don't see the unseen, right? They don't really see what's happening. They don't know that Jesus, who is the Son of God, is before them because he's humbly put himself in a position to be a human, not only that, but to be beaten and taken advantage of. Because by the time they got to this group of soldiers, he had already received the beating. He had already had that. And now he's come to the soldiers for his second beating. And as he comes to them, they put this purple robe on him. And they began to call to him, Hail to the King of the Jews. Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. It's unbelievable that this would happen to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But he chose, and we didn't see it, they did not see it, to put aside what he could do for you and me. And in fact, for the people that were doing it. I sort of, as I was reading, was even thinking through this, thinking that unseen is so interesting because, as Kyla prayed this morning, Pastor Kyla prayed, God is pursuing us, right? He wants us to be in relationship with him. And so he will provide a way for us to do that. It's up to us to decide. So here you have these men, many of them, who are beating Jesus and spitting on him. And the thought came to me, where is God? Is this unseen reality so dominated by Satan and his minions that God cannot get through to these men so that they can know that he is alive and well? There are many questions that we should have and you should have, and don't be afraid of them. Dive into them. We can dive into them knowing that we can see, we have been given the unseen to be able to perceive it through the scriptures and through the Holy Spirit, to know that he is alive and well in control of all things. But we can still have the questions. Why could they not have come into relationship with Jesus? Why did they not see that? This God who can draw all men and women to him. Well, yes, he can, and he desires to, and he longs to, and yet he chooses to give us free will. You know that. Look what you've done this morning already before you even got here. Pretty ungodly, probably. I don't know. I'm just sorry I didn't see what you were doing. Don't worry. I did not see it. It's all good. But we do. We make our own choices, and they're not good. And God lets us. And yet he is in control of all things. And he continues to pursue us, as he was with these people. And he allowed this to happen. And it was done and fulfilled, as prophecy said it would as well. So, again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple robe off and put on his own clothes again, and then they led him to crucify him. So they had their fun with him. They mocked him. They finished with what they wanted to do with him, and then they sent him on for crucifixion. Let's carry on. Verse 21. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they were forced to carry the cross for Jesus. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means a place of the skull, and they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. What is going on? What is the reality that's really happening? What we're seeing is different than what really is happening. But we're seeing something that's horrible. What we're seeing play out basically the way we live as well. We're all about ourselves. We're stuck in our own worlds. And we don't really see what's going on and how others might be hurt. Or in this case, how God might be totally blasphemed. But anyway, they're dividing up his clothes. In verse 25, it says, it was 9 in the morning. They had gone through this illegal trial all night, been through all these beatings. Now it's 9 in the morning, when they crucified him, and they put this sign on his cross. It said, the King of the Jews. Let's finish up the mocking a little bit. Let's show how ridiculous this Jesus guy is. That's what it looked like. That's what it looked like on the outside. But on the inside, you have Jesus, the Son of God, basically humbling himself for our sake, going through all of this ridiculousness by people like me in order that I might be saved. There is a reality that's happening that we don't always perceive and don't always see. But I trust that God will help us to see it more and more and more. And this is where we're going to go as we finish up this morning. That God will allow you to see it more and more and more so that you might be able to live above it, within a relationship with Christ, rather than caught in it or blind to it, or sometimes just so lulled out by things that you don't know anything's going on. We're just unperceptive at all. And yet Christ wants us to perceive. He wants us to know more. He wants us to see more. And as we read scriptures, we have this beautiful gift where we can see what's happening. And it gives us hope that something different can happen in our lives too, no matter what it might look like. Because I don't know what you're going through. I do not know. But you do. And sometimes you completely question God's presence and whether he can ever be here right now. And is he involved in this? Will this resolve? I don't know. And then we work on ways to manipulate things to make them resolve. But really, Jesus is in control. It is his kingdom. He rules. When we sang that song, Sing It Louder, Sing It Louder, you may think, well, they're just trying to manipulate themselves into this little frenzy. Well, it's not that. And see, that might be exactly a lie from Satan that you're actually living through. Maybe you're having a hard time receiving this faith because you're just so frustrated with what you see in the church. And you want something real. Well, God wants to open the doors too. He wants to break, as it were, the Holy of Holies to allow you to see what he's doing. And so on and on it goes. They crucified him with two rebels, one on the right side and one on the left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, so, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself. So a lot of mocking. And wouldn't you say, yeah, why don't you? I mean, I thought that. I don't know if you do. That's honestly a good question. Why don't you, Jesus? Why don't you just show them? Please, just show them. Don't you ever want that in one of your situations? Jesus, can you just show them? Can you just heal this person? Can you just give me that job? Can you just change the situation so I can actually have a friend at school? Can you do this somehow different so they can see that you're alive and well? In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers, in verse 31, it says, of the law, mocked him among themselves. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. Well, I mean, mean, it was easy, right? It was so easy. He laid himself out. For those of us who are good at ridiculing people, like, this guy would have laid himself out for you to just slash him up. And he willingly took it for us. But he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross, that they may see and believe those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. It just went on and on. It says, at noon, darkness came over the whole land. This is where something started to be seen. Right? The unseen started to peek out. I mean, don't get me wrong. The unseen was showing itself also through all of this brutality, because Satan was basically using people as pawns to attempt to thwart the plan that God had. Futile as that might appear, that was his plan. And so it was being seen in that way, in the sickness of our society. But now, the unseen of God, who looks like he has no control, that there's no hope, that all is lost, starts to show. The darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And when some of those near heard this, they heard it and they listened and they said, "He's calling Elijah." Someone ran and filled a sponge with wine vinegar and put it onto a staff and poured and offered it to Jesus to drink. And now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down. They were basically coming, and there was a little bit of hope. It's almost like they wanted to grab onto something right now. Maybe there is something to this. Maybe there's something different. But there's still a little bit of mockery in it as well. And so they just carry on with it. With a loud cry after all of that, it says that Jesus breathed his last. And again, the unseen of God starts to reveal itself as the curtain in the temple, which was dividing the people from God, was torn from the top to the bottom by God's hand. And when the centurion who stood in front of Jesus saw how he had died, he said, "The crack begins to open. Our eyes start to see more. Surely this man was the Son of God." And then in verse 40, some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and the younger and of Joseph and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. And it was preparation day. And on it goes. It says that it was preparation day. That day is the day before Sabbath. So the evening approached. Joseph, Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God. Interesting. He has faith, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked if Jesus had already died. And when he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph, in his faith, wanted to at least take Jesus' body. He had an inkling that he was hoping for God's kingdom. Joseph brought some linen and cloth and took down the body. By the way, where were the disciples? They were having a hard time seeing beyond what they saw. They couldn't get past what they were seeing, hearing, feeling, and possibly touching. So they wrapped him in linen and placed him in a tomb and cut out of a rock, and then they rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. So they were there still. They still had a connection. They may have lost faith or hope in the fact that he was the Son of God, but they had this relationship where they always cared for Jesus and they continue to. The picture's not good, but there is an unseen reality. Something awesome is about to happen. I want to share a story with you just before we go to the Easter story, and then we'll close it up. You know that God has a unique way of working through camp ministries, and whether it's the Young Life Camp at Rockridge or Imadeen or the Baptist Camp, Quantum's, and many others, right? Pioneer on Thetis. So there's lots of camps where God is moving and active. And I've been hearing reports from a lot of different people, because I get some people like Tim Furman, as I told you about before, who share things about so many students becoming Christians and putting their faith in Christ. And we saw that also when we grew up at camp. And we saw God moving even in people who maybe were already Christians, but their eyes were open to something different. And I know Nick shared about his camp, and so many became Christians. And Aaron and her boyfriend Will were just up at Eagle Bay, the Alliance camp, and on the Chuswap. And when they were there, they had a really challenging week, and it was hard. And yes, some people came Christians, but it was just really difficult and exhausting. God is active in doing so many things. When we were at camp, we also saw God moving. But I want to share this story with you, and then I'll close with the Easter story. And I don't know what you got in the story. Okay, I didn't even look at the song, but we'll celebrate. But when I was at camp, I had a moment where I was hit sideways. And I believe that Satan used an opportunity and something in my past where he grabbed me and he made me numb. And I lost it a little bit. But not to the extent that Christ wasn't still Lord of my life and I could walk through it and see. And here's the way it played out. And it's very simple. It's kind of funny and sad at the same time. We had, in a lot of the, every camp, they have this time where we do a group thing. When everybody comes together, I think it's Wednesday, and they do this big show, and they have some games, and often the leaders are up there to be ridiculed. So I was one of the leaders that was up there to be ridiculed, and I went up there to play tic-tac-toe, and we did it with hula hoops, and you have this big thing with little stakes and all this thing that you go and you put, right, Chase? You did well at it. I didn't do so well. So when we were playing the game, we had a little practice run, and I got up there, and I tell you, this is what happened. I panicked. I've been up doing so many things. I do stuff all the time in front of people, but I just panicked. I froze. And so what I said to myself was, okay, I can handle this. I can deal with this. And I'll just start bugging Pastor Kyla, because she's next to me, and she's supposed to put on a hula hoop, too. So I'm grabbing her hula hoop, doing all sorts of things. Just driving people nuts. They're probably really irritated with me. And basically cheating. So I was doing all that, but I wasn't really getting through this. And then I went out, and I had to actually do my part. It was just a trial run. We did it, and I put it in one spot, and it made it too hard for my next guy to get there, and they got it. Man, I failed. So I was really quite stressed about it. I couldn't get rid of almost like an anxiety thing. And so we went back, and I said, are we done? Can we just leave? So, no, I have to actually do it now. That was a trial run. Now let's see you lose for real. So, okay, all right, let's do this. So, and that's the way I'm feeling, kind of crazy, right? I'm feeling that way. So I went through it again. And of course, I did something ridiculous. I put it in a spot that left them wide open, and they put it up, and they got their three in a row, and they won again. And we ended up, it was a guy's team versus a girl's team. We lost, and I went off, and I felt just like shame. And so I was just all stressed about it. And okay, here's me. This is literally what I did. I went over, I was standing at the side of the wall like this, and I just sat like this. I thought, God, what's going on? It's just like that. Because I don't know if you know this, I think I shared it once with the church, but I prayed for our church that God, as we go forward as a church, proclaiming his truth, being a light unto our community and to the nations, that God would show us and teach us how to fight and how to overcome spiritual warfare, how to defeat Satan, because we know that that's really where the battle is in the unseen. The seen is one thing, but the unseen is so much bigger. And so I would pray that God would, in fact, show us beforehand so that we could win that battle. And I felt God had done it so many times. And as I sat again, or leaning against the wall like this, I thought, God, okay, what do you do me? What's happening with me? And I was able to, I don't know if you've ever done this before, but you're kind of able to almost come, just look at yourself and look at the situation and look at what was happening, what you were going through, why were you going through this. And as I did that, God started to minister to me. And he started to open up my heart as to what I was really doing and what was going on and why was I like this. And did it have something to do with me struggling with something in the past, or did I need to let something go now? Did I just need to surrender to Christ? And then right then, this game broke out again, and the guys were going against the girls, and they got their butts whipped, the girls, and they kept doing things that were completely ridiculous. And so I went up to a friend of mine and said, I can feel their pain. And that was a kind of a joke, but I literally was feeling their pain. I was like, I get that. But here's what happened. This is the reason I tell you this story. because God's working through all this. He's ministering to me. He literally is ministering to me. And then I walk back, and every time Pastor Kyla was a speaker, every time she speaks, I would go back and pray with her before she goes up there, because we want the Spirit to be able to be free to move, because we know He is and He can do all things, but still, for some reason, God calls us to pray. He calls us to pray. And so I prayed that way, and I tell you no lies, as soon as I prayed, it was gone. It was just gone. And I didn't even ask for God to do anything. I didn't ask Him to relieve me from whatever I was going through. I didn't ask for that. He just did it. Because God is in control. And it often is, very often is, a spiritual battle. We're going to look at it and look at the what happened and the people and everything and think, oh, it's this, and it's because I just never going to take that door, and, you know, whatever, all that kind of stuff. But no, God wants to break through to your world today. In whatever you're doing, whatever you're struggling with. And it could be as simple and ridiculous as a tic-tac-toe game that I play in front of people, or it could be way more intense with things that you're struggling with. But I know that God wants to set you free, because He did this. And it says that when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll a stone away from the entrance so that they can do their preparations? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone was already gone. That very large stone had been moved away, had been rolled away, and as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robes sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said, don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified, but He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid Him? But go tell His disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see Him. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Unseen realities. They didn't know, but then they knew. In God's time, He will show you. I guarantee you that. He will reveal it to you. Christ's already done the work. He's already finished the battle for us. And now He wants to help you in the midst of your life, whatever it is you might be struggling with. Well, you may say, well, you know, I really struggle with just even standing up for Jesus. I can't even do that. I can't tell anybody about Jesus. Well, welcome to Peter's world. He struggled with that too, didn't he? He had three opportunities to stand up for Jesus, and he let it go. Well, I really doubt it. I'm just not sure Jesus can do things. I'm not really confident that He can do it. Well, welcome to Thomas' world. He was one of Jesus' disciples, and he doubted, even to the point where Jesus came after He rose from the dead and said, stick your hand in the hole and know that I am alive. God provides a way for him, as He will for you, if you doubt. There are so many areas that we can make excuses about, but God wants to become real for us. Not in just the big, monstrous things like me preaching here that might seem big to you. No, no. It's when I'm playing tic-tac-toe and He sees what I'm doing and what's going on in my heart, and He wants to set me free. He wants to be there for you. And there may be some students starting school that you know that you're going to run into some things that are going to be very challenging. I pray for my kids. I know Aaron's in the midst of it right now at UBC. And Nicola, you're going to be going through it very soon. And Trishy will be. And it can be. Those are the moments. The small moments. And yet as we grow through those, then we become more and more confident in what Jesus can do in our lives. And we see more of what is real. What is really happening. And it is spiritual. It is spiritual. I'm going to close. We'll pray. But I wanted to say I'm so excited to be able to follow up this message after Marcello and after Kirsten. And even Cam, although I didn't get to hear his message. But Marcello and Kirsten, of course, looked at Peter's life and talked about the ups and downs of his life, and yet how he got closer and closer to God through it all. And Marcello, of course, talked about the time in the garden as Jesus was showing His humanity, but we discovered that we need to pray. We need to humble ourselves, and we need to wait on God and to see what He has for us. And I believe that that's what God is calling us to do too. As we go through the storms, as we go through the battles, as we go through the challenging things in our life, walk in humility. Submit yourself. Jesus showed us that. Submit yourself to Him, and He will open up your eyes to what's really happening. And then you won't have to be insecure and stand up for yourself and say stupid things or put people down, and then you'll feel better. Rather, you'll be able to just walk in the grace of Jesus and learn how to walk the way He would have us to. Isn't that the way discipleship works? Isn't that the way life should work? As we discover Christ, as we journey through whatever it is we're going through. And it was so great this morning to spend time with Douglas and Kelsey and their family. And we pray that God will walk with our families. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning, for your word, for your death, for your resurrection. And God, we don't see things very clearly sometimes, and we get so wrapped up in ourselves. So I ask that you would open our eyes. Please open my eyes to see you. And I know as you do that, you set me free. Thank you, God, for setting me free. Thank you for the moment you took with me when I thought I didn't know what was going on. And I know there'll be more of those, and I will doubt. But I still walk in faith in you, Christ, who is in control of all things. In Jesus' name, amen.